Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about suffering. And I want to start out by looking at the sufferings of the Apostle Paul. And then I want to share with you something that I find very strange, amazing, and baffling related to him. But we're first just going to read his suffering. Listen to this. Have you ever suffered like this in your life? Think about this. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, I have had far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. That's because the 40th lash, they said, would kill you. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. A night and a day, adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there's the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? Has anybody suffered like that in his or her life? But the thing I find amazing about this, and strange and baffling to me, is that of all the saints, nobody seems to have suffered more than Paul, and yet nobody seems to have rejoiced more than Paul. Doesn't that seem strange to you? Normally you'd think the more suffering, the more sorrow, the more sadness, the more being defeated. But in this case, we see the opposite. The more suffering equals the more rejoicing. In Paul, look at his life. He says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Colossians 2, though I'm absent in the body, I'm present with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Colossians 1, see who can say this. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for his sake, for your sake. 2 Corinthians 6, we treated as impostors and yet are true, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Always rejoicing? Paul? He suffered all these things, and yet his joy was the greatest, though he suffered the greatest. Could that be said of your life? Do you think that could be true in your suffering, that you could rejoice and have great joy in it? Or are you going to moan and wince and bewail your fate, which is part of suffering as well? But how is it possible, and what secrets did Paul have for having joy in the midst of afflictions and tribulations? Could you indeed have that as well? Well, what I'd like to do with you today is just take a look at the scriptures, look at Paul, and see what were his secrets to joy in the midst of affliction and troubles and such things. So let's take a look at that and see what God would teach us through the scriptures, through his word. Start out in Acts chapter 9, where Paul begins his ministry. Remember that? Or where he was called by God? Let's see if I got my Acts still in here. Good. Now, Paul is on his way to Damascus. And as he's going about the road, there is a great light that shines around him, and Jesus appears to him. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Says the Lord. And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do. Then he goes into the city. He's blind, remember? And then God gives a vision to a disciple named Ananias and says, go to Paul. Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. Verse 16, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Did Paul know ahead of time that he was going to suffer? Absolutely. Who told him? Jesus Christ. Are you going to suffer in the future? Yeah, you're going to suffer in this life. Who told you? Jesus Christ. Do you think that some of Paul's joy in being able at least to endure patiently his sufferings was the result of being told ahead of time that he's going to go through it? Absolutely. I mean, God told him ahead of time how much he's going to have to suffer for my name. And so Paul actually knew at the start that his life was not going to just be a rosy tiptoeing through the tulips, a cruise ship type of life like going on Carnival Cruise Lines. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Cruise ship church versus a battleship Christian. Which one are you? Are you ready to just sail through life on wings of ease and have your stomach fed and your entertainment and feel totally comfortable at all times? Is that the life that God's called you to in this book and in Jesus? No. He's called us to be a church that's active in a war. And if you're going to enter into war, you got to expect to come out with a few cuts and bruises a bit along the way. In fact, this wasn't just Paul's life, it's all of our lives. What did Paul tell us? 2 Timothy 3, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And in 1 Thessalonians 3, you yourselves know that this is to be our lot. For when we were with you, we gave you this command, we told you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass and as you know. Do you expect that ahead of time in your life? Are you prepared for it if it's to come? Or are you sort of sitting back in the Lido deck waiting for someone to slip another fried chicken tin into your mouth and just go cruise through life without any trouble? Well, God tells us ahead of time because he wants you to be prepared for it. It's told that, said that, Paul says in Acts 14, that he strengthened the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations, tribulations, we must enter into the kingdom. We must enter through tribulations. Wow. How many of us would like to just say, I'd really rather just go around the tribulations or under or over? Right. But God says through. And so we're going to go through these things as a battleship Christian. We're ready for that. We should be. At least have the spirit of a soldier inside of us and say, though they come against me, and come they will, I'm going to conquer because of Christ who's within me. So are you prepared, I'm asking, for struggles in your life? For troubles to come, if they may? And hopefully they won't. But you have abuse and persecution for the gospel? Perhaps the loss of family, wealth, health, and friends like Job, who's righteous and suffered for being righteous, did nothing wrong? I pray you don't have these sorts of troubles. But if they do, are you prepared? Peter himself says, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as if something strange were happening to you. How about you? When something terrible happens to you, what do you do? Come on, just tell me. Oh my goodness, what was me? Shocked, unduly alarmed, knocked off kilter. Or are you prepared? God tells you ahead of time to be prepared, and so be prepared. And we have this good word of encouragement. It says in Proverbs, for a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. But the wicked are overthrown by calamity. So that's one thing. Paul knew ahead of time, and so you know ahead of time. You can rejoice, at least endure patiently for that. But here's another one. Here's another secret. Paul was able to rejoice in his sufferings, I believe, because he saw God's purpose in them. Do you see purpose in your sufferings? You know, as long as you don't see purpose in your sufferings, you're just not going to be able to endure them very well. If you're running a race, and you're enduring sweat and miles of hills, if you lose sight of the finish line and what you're actually trying to achieve, who's going to keep running? You're going to stop, sit down on the side of the road, and cry and pity yourself. That's the way a lot of people, it happens to them in the Christian life. They're not ready for it, and they don't see the purpose in it. Does God have a purpose in the midst of your sufferings? Look at Paul's secret here. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, well, for we don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the affliction that we experience in Asia. For we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Say, utterly, unbearably crushed.
Utterly, unbearably crushed.
You ever feel like that? that you even despair of life in your sufferings? Paul did. You're not alone. Why, we thought that we'd receive the sentence of death. But notice it says, but that was with the purpose that, in order that, so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. As long as his suffering was not seen with a purpose, he could hardly endure it. When he saw the purpose, it was much easier. And in fact, what was the purpose? That he would rely on God. Could God be doing that in your life? What's your suffering? Come on, I know you got one. Your affliction, your trouble. Could God be using that with a great purpose to cause you to rely upon him? Well, how about this one in Romans chapter 5? Go to another scripture here. Turn all these little note cards. He says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Seriously, Paul? We rejoice in our sufferings? Yeah. Endure patiently, I got. Rejoice? Well, let's see why. He says, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope doesn't disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. So what's suffering do to you? You can answer it to me. What's the purpose in it? Suffering produces what?
Character.
Character, but it first produces endurance. Do you need endurance? It says in 2 Timothy 2, it says, if we endure, we'll also reign with him. You need endurance. We need it to be saved. Suffering is one way God makes sure you get it. Endurance. Isn't that a beautiful thing? In other words, through your suffering, God is helping to save you and keep you in Christ to the end. Can you rejoice in that?
Yes.
Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Now, I like to think of what Beth says and all her difficulties. But God, am I not a character enough already? But look at what beauty of character God has produced in Beth. I know there are people, you know, people probably suffered greater than she, but in my personal life, no, I know no one who suffered more than Beth. Every day she suffers. And yet, you know what, I'll tell you, I know no one in my life with the same indomitable joy in her heart as Beth. You know, in the Christian life, here's suffering, here is joy, and they go hand in hand. Isn't that strange? You know who does that? That's God's work in us. Because we've prepared ourselves ahead of time, and we see he has great purposes in it. He's even saving us through these things. We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And what good is he trying to work in you through your suffering? It says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Do you think perhaps in your sufferings, or your sufferings, God is chipping away at the impurities, burning off the dross, cutting away dead limbs until you look like Jesus? That's God's purpose. Do you believe it, though? If you believe that, truly lay that to heart in your suffering, you're going, I'm starting to rejoice in these things because I'm being made like the Son of God. And I'm being kept by these sufferings with endurance to the day of the Lord. How about even sicknesses? Well, Paul got a physical ailment, apparently. We read this in 2 Corinthians 12. Check it out. To keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. In other words, to keep him from becoming proud. Remember when I preached to you several years ago on that thorn? I still got it. Keep it in my office. That little thorn was in my wrist here for like 4 months, and the doctor didn't even find it. Still get a scar from where that was, which I like, is right where Jesus' nails went in. But a thorn. God gives you a thorn, and you're supposed to rejoice in that? It kept Paul from getting too proud. And it was one way God was keeping him unto eternal life. Can you rejoice in your thorn? For Paul says, he says, three times he asked the Lord to remove that thorn. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Could it be that in your afflictions, God is whittling you down to weakness so that his power might erupts and manifests itself before you in glory. That's one of the purposes that was done here. And therefore, Paul said he learned to rejoice and boast in his weaknesses. He's content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. It's unbearable, right? If you don't know your purpose in suffering. If you see the purpose, it not only becomes bearable, it can even become a joy. As James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials. You know that the testing of your faith produces what? You know it? Steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Can you say amen to sufferings?
Amen.
Say, I rejoice in my sufferings.
I rejoice in my
sufferings. Seriously? I knew you were going to have trouble with that. I rejoice in my sufferings. Because they're making me like Christ, and they're keeping me to the day of eternity. God is using these in precious ways. We're not to run away from them, although we don't want to run to them. But if they do come, bear them patiently with joy. There's a great purpose for every single suffering every Christian ever goes through. Don't doubt that. Even if you can't see the purpose like Job couldn't see. God has one. Thirdly, Paul could rejoice, I believe, in his sufferings because he knew that God was with him and would deliver him in every circumstance. And you know what? That wasn't something he started with. That was something he learned over time. Sometimes we feel like David. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? Ever feel like that? But what does God say through Moses? I have seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them. In your sufferings, do you know that God sees your sufferings? He hears your cries. He knows your afflictions, and he comes down to deliver you. Sometimes we feel, I'm alone. God's cast me off. That's not true. If you're a Christian, he knows. As Job says, he knows the way that I take. He knows it. When he has tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. And Paul said he learned this. He says when he was fighting against Alexander in 2 Timothy 4, he says, at my first defense, no one took my part, all deserted me. May not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength to proclaim the word fully, that all the Gentiles might hear. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom. Are you with me here today? Can you say the Lord will save me from every evil? Say every evil.
Every evil.
Every evil. Paul learned he would be saved from. If you read in Acts, he was beaten. He was imprisoned everywhere he went, shipwrecked, struck, hit, but every time saved. And God is going to save you. What's your affliction today? You believe God's going to save you and deliver you out of that? He promises to do so. The Lord will save us from every evil, save us for his heavenly kingdom. And Paul says, I've learned the secret of facing these things. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. When Naomi was a little girl, a little tiny toddler, I used to toss her up. You ever do that with your kids? And at first she was maybe a little afraid. Woo! And I was scared getting up high. But then she learned I'd catch her every time she came down. And then what I do, I go higher, and when she was small, I could really launch her right up into the sky. And she's way up there, and she's laughing and giggling with glee and a guffaw, closing her eyes, falling backwards toward the earth. Why? Because she'd learned that her father would catch her every time. Do you believe that? Is what I'm asking you. Not just as a doctrine, do you believe it for yourself personally? God is going to catch you. Will he not save you? Do you doubt that? I consider all the sermons I write, they always seem to me like a giant to face, a bear, a lion. But I think of what David said. He says to Saul, your servant has killed both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath, shall be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. How did David learn to be so confident? He fought a lion and won. He fought a bear and won. And so this Goliath is going to be just like one of them. He learned over time, God had saved him every time. Have you learned that in your life? God has saved you from many things, from your afflictions, right down the road. And he's going to save you from this one, whatever it is. And so I can say to my present sermon, which is still a Goliath to me each week, but I'm not afraid of it anymore, like it used to be. I've fought lions. I've fought bears. This sermon, this Goliath, shall be given me as well, into my hand. And those are things we learn in life. And so learn it today. God will save us from every evil. He'll save us for his heavenly kingdom. That's a promise. And next, Paul says, 2 Corinthians 2, as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. What did he say? As we what? Share in Christ's sufferings. Do you think your sufferings are sharing with Christ and his sufferings? Do you think you might find joy in them because of that? What did Christ do for us? He bled for us. He died. He was scorned. He was beaten. He died on that cross for us. And when we share, when we suffer, we are in some intimate way sharing with him and his sufferings. He with us. We with him. He in us. We in him. When Beth is on the operating table, a lot of times, she would say that she would be comforted thinking, this is but a small comparison with what he suffered for me. And she'd go into it singing songs as opposed to being afraid. It gives us joy because we're sharing with Christ. And he shares with us. Romans 8 says, if we're his children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided... Say that. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. And one more. Here's really one of the best. Paul knew his suffering was preparing for him an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And in that he rejoiced. Where is that written? Well, we go back to 2 Corinthians once again, chapter 4. He says this, for this slight momentary affliction. Oh, wait a second. Stonings, shipwrecks, dangers, slight, momentary, in his eyes, is preparing for us an eternal way of glory beyond all comparison. Because we're looking not to the things that are seen, but to those that are unseen. The things that are seen are passing away, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Can you look at your present sufferings that way? These are slight in compared with the glory that's waiting. These are momentary, just here for a season things, preparing me for something that will last forever. A city set on a hill, a glorious kingdom in which there'll be no suffering. And our sufferings are preparing for us that weight of glory to wear. Isn't that beautiful? Can you look at your sufferings that way? Let's say, I want to hear it.
Yes.
That's a beautiful thing. And that's given to Christians. The world doesn't have this kind of joy. Blessed is the man who endures trial, says James. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And so we're like athletes running with self-control in all things, not for a perishable wreath, but for an imperishable wreath, whose glory never fades. Rejoice in that. It's but a little while you suffer, and day comes, and your prize, and rejoicing in his kingdom. And then we just have to bring it around to Jesus here, because it is the central part of the Christian life, suffering, because we see that in our King. Amen? It says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. He knew that he was going up to Jerusalem to suffer and to be betrayed at the hands of men. And then to be whipped and beaten and scorned and nails through his own palms. And to die a terrible death on a cross. And he did that for our salvation. And he was able to endure because of the joy that was promised him beyond the cross. And Peter says, this is an example for us that we should also follow in his steps. And all your suffering, all your affliction and trouble, God says, is leading you I am leading you through these things to a kingdom, to my world that has no suffering. It's slight. It's momentary. But John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. And he will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away, says the Lord. And he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That's where your suffering's leading you. And so rejoice. He's preparing you for it. He's with you in it. He's going to deliver you from everyone. He's working in you, Christ. And by your sufferings, he's keeping you unto that day of his glory in that world that has no suffering, world without end. And so Jesus says, in the world, friends, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In Jesus' name, amen.